The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
A lot of people misunderstand Donald Trump as a foreign policy president because that's basically what they think is good about him. When they say Donald Trump, thank goodness he hasn't started any new wars. That's not what makes him a good foreign policy president. And I think he's one of the best foreign policy presidents this country's ever had. What makes him a good foreign policy president is, and he prioritizes American interests, yes, but also he's very strong, right? He will employ violence to kill bad guys. If you mess with an American, he will kill you, right? That's very important, that people think that Donald Trump is a dangerous man. Everyone is used to hearing, we talked about it a bit before, Trump said this on the Joe Rogan show, but he told me when I was interviewing him, when he was talking about bad people that he picked to serve with him, he said, a lot of people think that John Bolton was bad. He said, John Bolton was great for me. He worked well. He was so crazy. I'd walk into a room with John Bolton and everyone thought that we were going to bomb them. So Bolton worked great for me. And, you know, which makes sense, but being unpredictable is important, right? Saying, oh, well, let's send one of the boys in striped pants off from the State Department to parlay with Mr. Assad, and that should do the job. It's like, no, that doesn't do the job. So that's what makes Donald Trump an exceptional foreign policy president. And by the way, when he says America first, he's not talking about withdrawing from the world. He's talking about a very big and great America that straddles the world. It's not looking for trouble, but it's a powerhouse. That's the America he's talking about. It's not a small America, right? And this is what he means when he's already threatening the Chinese for letting fentanyl cross the border. This is what he means when he's calling Justin Trudeau the governor of Canada, right? It's like, you think you're going to get away with ripping us off? You can't have an economy without that? Okay, you should be a state. Welcome. You're America's 51st state. But that's a man who sees a very big America, right? All of you who were alive during the 80s and remember the TV shows and Donald Trump's power tie and all those things, that's the America he's talking about. That's America first. It's not withdrawing from the world. It's dominating it.
40% of Joe Biden's presidency has been spent on vacation. That is roughly 550 days. Now, if you do a little math, it would take the average American 48 years to rack up that many vacation days. As you sort of look back on the last 4 years, is it a little bit frightening that we had a president who mentally and physically wasn't even there?
Yeah, well, listen, I've said he's been on vacation for more than 4 years. I noted when he first got elected that he was in diminished capacity, and we should all be very concerned. And our foes see it. China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, they all see it. That's why you're seeing a lot of the unrest.
What a contrast. You see it side by side. Donald Trump, as we've been saying this week, projecting strength even before coming back into office. He's still got a few weeks left before inauguration. And then you have the fake president on vacation for what did he say, 550 days? I mean, this is fake through and through. I just saw a tweet from the Jesse Waters show. 17% of mail-in voters admitted to voting in a state where they didn't live. That's from 2020, I believe. So there you go. I mean, we're living in the age of fraud, of lies, of deception. And finally, so many of those lies, as we've covered this week, they've been fully exposed. Obama's system of will worship has shattered. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the final show of this fast-moving week. It seems like the news cycle finally did slow down a bit, judging by some of the headlines last night and this morning. But we still have a brand new show. We have a live show for you today. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. Make sure that you tell your friends and family about the program. We've got some good clips lined up for today's program, including, I think it's about a 10-minute montage from Grabian. They've put together the worst disasters that you saw, that you witnessed from the regime media over the past year. Pretty good supercut put together by Tom Elliott over at Grabian. We'll play that for you here in just a second. We've spent some time this week on the plummeting ratings over at MSNBC and CNN. And also, speaking of montages, we've got the end of the year montage. And this go, as per tradition on this show, we're going to reserve that for Tuesday's program. That would be the last day of the calendar year. So when you tune in on Tuesday, you won't be seeing yours truly, because the montage that we've put together is 59 minutes, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. It'll be a fast moving hour on Tuesday, so you can look forward to that. I haven't even made it all the way through the end of it myself. I got through about half of it last night. What a year. What a year when you think about all that has been happening. When you think about all of the prophecy that has been fulfilled. I just grabbed the last few issues of the Trumpet on my way up here. I've shown you this one before. The miracle victory. Donald Trump's miraculous victory on November 5. And before that, is the world shifting right? I mean, what a perfect issue leading into the election that in some ways shocked the world. In other ways, I think a lot of people were expecting it. Never mind what the regime media was saying. It's never going to happen. There's no way it could happen. Democracy's on the line. Democracy's on the ballot. Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler. There's no way Americans would vote him in. And then that night, he wins easily. He wins overwhelmingly in the Electoral College. They called the race the same night. Before that, how mass migration is being used to transform the world. I gave you that story yesterday where Panama and other Central American nations, they're cracking down. Finally! Because they know a new president is coming in. He's projecting strength. He's strong on the border. You listen to him. Play that Tom Holman clip where he says the first place he's going to go is, I think it was Chicago. I think it might be one of the last ones on the list.
Trenda Agua, your days are numbered. My gang's bigger than your gang. And we're going to take you out of the country. We're going to port you out of here. You think you are coming to the greatest nation on earth and victimizing Americans in this country? Your days are numbered. You're number one on the list. MS-13, you're right behind them. To the sanctuary cities who want to attack me every day saying you can put roadblocks up, you're not going to assist this. Shame on you. Shame on any elected representative, any congressman, council person, any mayor, any governor who don't want to remove safety threats from your community, and they're here illegally. That is your number one responsibility, is protect your communities. So if you're not going to do it, President Trump and ICE will. The mayor of Chicago, not a real bright guy, says Tom Homan isn't welcome in Chicago. Well, guess where Tom Homan's going to be day one? Chicago, Illinois.
He's pretty popular. That's Trump's border czar. What a contrast to Kamala. She was the border czar for the fake president for 4 years. Never went there. Didn't do anything except leave the gates wide open. And because of that, we've invited gangs into the United States. Listen to this local report from a Fox affiliate, clip 14.
Yeah, Aurora, Colorado now. This is a live look now. The sun is up there in that state, and police have now detained 14 people in reported armed home invasion. That's the same apartment complex where a lot of people were complaining about the armed Venezuelan gang members roaming the halls. Reports indicate that investigators said that several suspects entered the apartment and had two people inside. The suspects then reportedly moved the victims to another apartment complex, or rather another unit on the property where police said they were found threatened and bound. An adult man sustained a non-life-threatening stab wound.
Threatened, bound. Here you've got these gangs on the loose in Aurora, Colorado, and elsewhere. That's Fox News, by the way, not a local affiliate. But still, no matter how much the regime tried to cover this up, we've been getting stories like this for the last 4 years. And the regime has done everything in their power to lie and to deceive, to cover up the truth. Listen to this one from CNN on the economy. Again, more bitter affliction, clip 3.
Mortgage rates are going up for the second week in a row, even though the Fed has cut interest rates in their last 3 meetings. The average 30-year fixed mortgage rate is once again nearing 7%, higher than the rates were at the beginning of the year.
And the Fed has slashed interest rates by a full percentage point since September, and yet mortgage rates are going the other way. The latest average is 6.85%. That is the highest since July, nearly triple where rates were at this point in 2020. So this is really the last thing that people needed, because it's not just that borrowing costs are high. It's that home prices are high. Right. There's just too many people chasing too few homes, and so prices have nowhere to go but up. We've seen this across the country. In the Northeast, home prices are up by 8% year over year to almost $500,000. That's the median. In the West, the median home price is above $600,000. That's just the median. That means half of them are well above that price. Of course, this cuts both ways, right? If you already own your home, you're sitting pretty. You're smiling every time you're checking the value of your home on Zillow because it's padding your net worth and it's giving you some more financial flexibility, potentially to do a home equity loan or home equity line of credit. But we know that so many people just can't afford to buy right now. Oxford Economics has found that to buy a home and to afford property taxes and the cost of insurance, you need to make $108,000 a year as a household. That is almost double where this income level was supposed to be back before COVID. Back then, you needed to make $56,000 to afford to buy a home.
There's the bitter affliction. That's the Biden years right there. From 2019 to 2024, from COVID to today. What was it Kamala said during the campaign? The American dream? It's pretty much over. This was what they campaigned on. Yeah, you can't afford it. The dream is dead. You might as well just settle in for renting the rest of your life. And they wonder why they lost. Donald Trump comes in. And as we'll cover here in a second, just immediately the mood shifts. And even some in the regime media, straighten up. They start reporting the truth. They start making the pilgrimage to Mar-a-Lago. I gave you some of the figures yesterday. The favorability ratings are not so favorable for MSNBC, CNN. Gateway Pundit says since the 2024 election, ratings at the far left cable news networks, CNN and MSNBC, are way down. It says Joy Reid is even looking at a potential pay cut to stay on the air. Rachel Maddow's already taken one. Not that big of a cut, but still. It says here it's easy to see why. These networks told their faithful viewers that there was no way Trump could win right up until they were forced to admit on election night that Trump had not only won, but he had won big for months. They told us that it was going to destroy democracy. That this was the beginning. Michael Beschloss was concerned that he'd never be able to write a book again. Because to just live under the authoritarian regime of Donald Trump, no more books. It says their viewers felt betrayed, and a massive number of them simply walked away and have not returned. And then these figures I gave you yesterday. MSNBC is down 50%. CNN is down 45%. Fox News is the only cable news network that has gained viewers in the same period. It says there are plenty of conservatives who no longer watch Fox News. So it's impressive that they've been able to grow their numbers through all of this. MSNBC and CNN, on the other hand, will be lucky to survive. They just might not be able to survive this. Joy Reid might not be able to survive the massive cuts that are coming. They've been exposed. Their world came crashing down. Their fake narratives, they came crashing down on November 5. And suddenly the mood, among other things, the mood in the United States, very different. This montage from Grabian, as I said, it goes on for about 10 minutes. It gives you the the top 10 lies that the regime media told over the course of this calendar year. Just 1 year. This is 2024. Clip one.
Start your tape right now.
I am taking a, what do they call it? Like a regular dose, you know, whatever. They're trying to build up. Of ivermectin.
Ivermectin? A dewormer? Really?
Because I'm about to tell you the truth.
Donald Trump declaring before a crowd that Cheney should be put before a firing line.
An F you if you can't handle the truth.
It's clear as day. The FBI put out statistics for 2023. Crime is going down. You don't have to twist the facts.
Violent crime in America has actually gone up, not down.
Grabian presents the most mortifying media moments of 2024. Number 10, ignore your eyes. Those are cheap fakes.
There's a growing and insidious trend in right-wing media, broadcast, print, and social media. It is to take highly misleading and selectively edited videos of President Biden directly from Republican National Committee social media accounts and then use those videos to spread messages virally to cast doubt on President Biden's fitness for office. Here is this headline from the New York Post, quote, Biden appears to freeze up, has to be led off stage by Obama at Megabucks LA fundraiser. The full video posted by Biden finance chair on Twitter shows something entirely different. Biden reacting to applause and then walking off stage with former President Obama. It comes less than 1 week after the New York Post made a cover out of another piece of deceptively edited tape, calling him meander-in-chief due to what they claim was Biden walking away during a skydiving demonstration during the G7 summit last week. Biden was going over to congratulate one of the skydivers. The articles are based on cheap fakes, videos of real events that are intentionally manipulated to fool viewers.
Number 9, CNN thinks America is a democracy.
There's a lot of criticisms of Trump that he is bad for democracy, that he's bad for American democracy.
Okay. We're a republic.
We're a republic.
We are not a democracy.
We're a representative republic. We're not a democracy.
I've heard a lot of conspiracy theories. I hear a lot of things out on the road. But to hear Americans, people who would describe themselves as patriots, say that America is not a democracy, that stopped me in my tracks.
You are hearing people say America is not a democracy because there are people around Trump who want them to be saying that, who've been planting that narrative.
Number 8. Beyonce is performing at the DNC.
There are rumors that Beyonce might make an appearance. I personally think that that's true.
Is the United Center going to be turning into the Beehive tonight?
The Beehive is buzzing right now because the preparation for the Beehive, It has to start early.
A donor confirmed to me that she's also hearing that Beyonce is en route.
Beyonce is going to show up. You mean Queen Bey.
Breaking Beyonce news.
Number 7. The media tries to scare people about Project 2025.
The far-right manifesto puts forth sealing the border, and it seeks to do so with military force. It aims to use every lever of government to find, detain, and deport undocumented people, take funding and housing away from people who are just associated with undocumented immigrants. Quote, deny loan assistance to those who are not U.S. citizens or lawful permanent residents.
Number six, media tries to hype up the amount of misinformation on X.
After Elon Musk took over in 2022, most of its fact checkers were fired. Now the site is rife with trash talk and lies. Little would you know that this, said to be footage from Gaza, is really from a video game. Eventually, X users added a warning label. These are AI-generated images of, well, see for yourself. Did your research find that there was more misinformation spread by conservatives?
Absolutely.
X has turned into a haven for the spread of misinformation. Since buying the site almost 2 years ago, Musk's site has struggled to control it on topics ranging from the election to the assassination attempt against Trump.
Number five, Tim Walz is the best. J.D. Vance is the worst.
Midwestern dad, like super clean cut vibe.
Everybody likes right? Tim Walz.
So plain spoken and relatable.
Pretty moderate Democrat.
Very moderate record.
A new moderate.
Is right down the middle.
He's not just an old white man.
Tim Walz beats America. You know,
talks like a regular person.
Tim Walz is the opposite of weird.
Populist approach to fear on the Republican side and the happy populism that Tim Walz is on the ticket on the Democratic side.
Happy warriors.
Happy warriors.
He was certainly the happy warrior last night.
Happy warrior. Folksy backstory.
Wicked sense of humor. Look how happy the pig looks. That's good.
And J.D. Vance is weird, extreme, and angry.
Utter humorlessness.
It's hard to believe that J.D. Vance could be any more extreme.
It's like a freak show of bros.
Dark and ugly beneath the dignity of most politicians.
J.V. Vance.
J.D. is at the far extreme.
The most extreme.
Being one of the most extreme.
Angry and mean and dark.
This guy is really weird, y'all.
Number four. Very, very bad things will happen if Trump wins.
Think about what happens if all of our access to healthcare goes away next Tuesday. The stakes literally are life and death for every woman in America. It's not hyperbole. It's not an exaggeration.
Trump will fulfill his promise to be a dictator on day one.
Sets up a network of camps.
Extraordinarily erratic foreign policy in the Middle East.
Doing profound and possibly permanent damage to American democracy.
If historians in the future are allowed to write books, and by the way, that question is open this morning. And if people are allowed to go on television and say what they think in the future, which again, that question is open this morning. That's what happens when strong men come to power. That happened in Italy in the 1920s and 1930s, Germany in the 1930s. Suspend the Constitution, pit the Justice Department, the Defense Department against political enemies, and run this country out of the White House.
Number three, Joe Biden would never pardon his son because he is such a great guy.
Presidential promise to put the law before family.
The president has ruled out pardoning his son.
Pledging not to pardon his son.
To sit there and say, well, I'm not going to intervene in the legal process and I wouldn't pardon my son. Democrats and Joe Biden protecting the justice system.
Our current president of the United States has so much respect for the law that he has said he would not pardon his son.
And Joe Biden has very clearly said he would not pardon his son, he would not commute his sentence. How can Republicans keep making this argument now that Joe Biden has really put it out there?
He is not doing it because he is living what it means to have a rule of law in this country. Yeah. And if you want to know if he believes it, you could actually see what is happening with his own son.
Even President Biden saying in a statement that he would respect the outcome of this case.
This was a good day for the system, good day for sort of America as an example of how the rule of law should work.
We're coming on the air this hour with breaking news. President Biden has just pardoned his son, Hunter.
Number two, media gets caught editing interviews to help Kamala Harris.
When we talk about bringing down prices and making life more affordable for people, what are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
Well, I'll start with this. I grew up a middle class kid. My mother raised my sister and me. She worked very hard. She was able to finally save up enough money to buy our first house when I was a teenager. I grew up in a community of hardworking people, you know, construction workers and nurses and teachers. And I try to explain to some people who may not have had the same experience, you know, but a lot of people will relate to this. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood of folks who were very proud of their lawn, you know?
When we talk about bringing down prices and making life more affordable for people, what are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
So when I talk about building an opportunity economy, it is very much with the mind of investing in the ambitions and aspirations and the incredible work ethic of the American people.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
We are not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end.
Number one, there's no cognitive decline. In fact, Biden has never been better.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. This version of Biden is the best Biden ever.
She knows so long as she was denied.
In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been.
He is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
President Biden has a photographic memory.
But he's totally focused. He's very sharp.
They say he's sharp in meetings and so on.
Very lucid, very well informed.
He's older. That doesn't mean that he is unfit.
He can clear a dementia bar, and that's probably a win.
More wild speculation from a bunch of people who have probably never been in a room with Joe Biden and certainly don't have medical degrees that I'm aware of.
But a huge part of the Mueller report talks about Russian disinformation tactics. And one of the themes this election cycle is that Joe Biden is too old to lead. And so everyone is seizing upon this. And it is a classic disinformation tactic.
Stellar year for all the propagandists right across the media, the legacy media complex, start to finish, lie after lie after. And the biggest, I would agree with number one, covering up the dementia, covering it up. The sitting president of the United States, albeit fake, but still occupying the White House, the Oval Office. And they lied. They lied all the way through to June 27th and the debate debacle. They covered it all up and then very quickly threw him under the bus. I mean, how do you defend this? So many of them, they just dust off and carry on to the next fake narrative. Listen to this one from CBS earlier today, clip four.
Reporters covering the war in Gaza became part of the story when an Israeli airstrike near a hospital in Gaza City killed five Palestinian journalists overnight. That's according to Hamas officials on the ground. Israel says they were militants posing as reporters. According to the Committee to Protect Journalists, at least 141 media workers have been killed in Gaza, the West Bank, Israel, and Lebanon since the war began.
This is what they see as straight objective news. They take whatever it is Hamas is reporting, and then they treat it like it's a serious story. Yeah, Israel's just bombing journalists. Israel's killing members of the media. Terrorist sympathizers, these people, they will rush to sympathize with the terrorists and then do anything possible to denigrate Israel, the UK, the United States. Listen to Lee Smith. This is from that conversation we had with him at Armstrong Auditorium on December 11, clip six.
It starts in 2016. with what we now come to know as Russiagate, where this is, of course, where Donald Trump is framed as a Russian spy. And one of the great tragedies of this is, as I explain in the book, we have to tell our stories, and we have to tell our stories right, because it's up to keep our own histories, not just because that's the way that history is best told, passed on from father and mother to son and daughter and so on throughout the generations, but because we have to recognize that we have problems in our media, we have problems in our educational system. And I draw, for instance, upon the fact that for generations to come in blue city schools across our great country, students will be taught, tragically, that the 45th, now 47th president of the United States was a Russian asset, a Russian agent. So we have to make sure that we tell these stories right and that people understand what the true history is of our country.
That's why his book is so important. Lee Smith, I mean, the book he came out with just before the election, telling the truth about all these lies, these hoaxes, these attacks on President Trump. But it is encouraging to at least see so many of them. Whether or not people will be held to account, we'll see. But at least to see so many of the lies exposed. This is from the New York Post last week. It says, "The national mood shift since Trump's win is reviving America's lost vigor." It says here, "The other day, a former student wrote me regarding post-election events. I just feel like the tide has shifted and that it feels more like the Reagan 1980s than at any point in my life," he marveled. And this op-ed writer says, I agree. It's not just that Donald Trump is the once and future president. It's that the entire energy of the nation and maybe the world has changed overnight. It says, from the Daniel Penny exoneration to the reopening of the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris before all the leaders of the West, including Donald Trump, but notably excluding Joe Biden. And the world leaders, remember, they were lining up to greet Donald Trump. It says here, to the triumphant flights of Starship and a sudden shift in relations with previously difficult neighbor countries like Mexico and Canada, these last few weeks have felt like one big shout of, "We're back, baby. We're back. America's back. The resurgence has started. The American dream is alive. The border czar is actually going to enforce the border or border security laws." What a refreshing change. Time magazine, of course, had Donald Trump as the person of the year. And I think that that's at least 21 times that Donald Trump has appeared on the cover of Time Magazine over the years. Yesterday, we played that clip for you from his apprentice show back in the 1990s. How long was God preparing for November 5? For that moment, God looked at the affliction and he saw that it was so bitter. And so he intervened to save America by the hand of Jeroboam. There's this this story. This is from the Blaze. "Obama ally Raskin pushes plan for Congress to nullify election and to install Harris. It says, despite spending years complaining about threats to democracy, Democrats are scheming to thwart the collective will of 77 million Americans who voted for President-elect Donald Trump in a fair and free election. It says in a December 26 op-ed for The Hill, titled, "Congress has the power to block Trump from taking office, but lawmakers must act now." David Schulte, a Chicago investment banker friend of both Barack Obama and failed presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, joined the former Democratic president of the New York City Bar Association, Evan Davis,
in echoing Representative Jamie Raskin's February call for Congress to block Trump from taking office. So, I mean, if Democrats try to stop a president from taking office, that's perfectly fine. But, you know, it's not really this movement. It's like we've covered before. I mean, the Get Trump movement, it's been defanged. There's just something missing this time around. They've been defanged. They've been declawed. They lack the power. I mean, you can imagine just a couple years ago, someone like Raskin or Adam Schiff taking the Nancy Pelosi taking the ball and running with it. Yeah, we're going to stop him. He's an insurrectionist. So we're going to put in Harris instead. Never mind democracy. Listen to Will Cain. I think he was sitting in for Jesse Waters last night or night before. Clip 5.
Trump wants his first day back in office to be, quote, explosive. He's even teasing the return of the White House Diet Coke button and executive orders. There's going to be a lot of them. How about vacuum sealing the southern border, the banning of DEI, the cutdown of Biden's green climate agenda, slashing 10 regulations for every new one Biden introduced. And he'll be ushering in a new era of MAGA protectionism as quickly as possible. On the campaign trail, he threatened to slap up to a 200% tariff on any cars made in Mexico. And now all of the car companies are trying to get on his good side. Ford, Toyota, and General Motors are sprinting to donate $1 million to Trump's inauguration. And even companies that denounced Trump after January 6th are cutting seven-figure checks. Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, AT&T, Stanley, Black & Decker, all donating to Trump's inaugural fund. A rep for one of the companies told the Wall Street Journal, "People just really want to move forward and move on. The election results were very clear." Trump's on pace to have the most lucrative inaugural fund ever because everyone wants to be on the winning side of history.
That's Will Cain, again, talking about the mood shift in the United States. That's not to say that there isn't bitter affliction anymore. There certainly is. But the shift in the mood, I mean, it's noticeable. It's palpable. This is from The Blaze, speaking of bitter affliction. January 6 arrests rose 24% in 2024, 75% in the past 2 years, according to the DOJ. You remember how the DOJ, they're quite proud of their track record, all the people that they've thrown in jail. They celebrate it in what's likely to be the penultimate report of its kind. The U.S. Department of Justice says 1,572 people have been arrested for alleged January 6 crimes, a 24% increase during 2024. No let up in the dear leaders, DOJ, 1,524. It's up 24% this year. We're 3.5 years on from the fake insurrection. And look at all the people that have been put into prison, into jail. Because why? Well, they questioned the election, the results of the election. You can do that now, of course, if you're Raskin or some of these other Obama operatives. It says here, in its 47-month update, the DOJ and the FBI arrested 11 new January 6 suspects between November 6 and December 6. That's just in the last month or so. The 1,572 represents a 24% increase in 2024. You know, Lee Smith made this same point. I played the Steve Bannon clip for you yesterday where he said, you know, Donald Trump is not a vengeful person and he's not going to retaliate. But that's what we need to stop these crooks, these criminals, these dirty cops from persecuting so many people. It's not like the persecution is just aimed at Donald Trump. I mean, he's certainly taken his share of it, for sure. But a lot of people have suffered. A lot of people have suffered through bitter affliction, and some even put into jail for years for nothing. How many others have suffered because of the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal or the wide open border? To just take a couple of examples, how many Americans have really and truly suffered? If they're not held to account, these dirty cops, well, there should be some godly justice. Just the same law applying to everybody as God teaches in the Holy Scriptures. Listen to Lee Smith. This is again from his evening with us on December 11, clip 9.
I'm happy that Donald Trump has said he's not vengeful and he's not looking for revenge. I think we all are happy about that. But I don't want Donald Trump to forget, because it's not just Donald Trump who's been hurt these last 4 years. It's a matter of setting the country right, and it's a matter of holding people responsible.
That's right. A lot of other people have been hurt in the case of the biggest DOJ investigation in history. 1,572 put in jail for a protest for nothing. And all of those violent thugs during the Summer of Love, it went on for 3 months, remember? And so many of them were just let right out of jail the next day for their rioting, for their burning, for their looting. Lee Smith is right there. It's not just Donald Trump who's been hurt these past 4 years. It's a matter of setting the country right, of holding people responsible for their lawless acts. When we come back, we've got more treats. We've got this week's segment of World Watch every Friday. That's the tradition. So we'll take a quick break, come back with World Watch, and let's see. We've got maybe some time for a few emails before we finish off today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on The Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need The Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need The Trumpet Daily. Only The Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to trumpetdaily.com.
As China rapidly and dramatically grows its nuclear arsenal, it is also deepening ties with Russia, according to a Pentagon report published on December 18th. The report estimates that as of mid-2024, China's nuclear stockpile surpassed 600 operational nuclear warheads. The Pentagon expects China to have over 1,000 operational nuclear warheads by 2030. The report also draws attention to China's rhetorical and diplomatic alignment with Russia before and during Russia's ongoing war against Ukraine. China has been selling Russia dual-use items for military and civilian use, which Moscow's military industry relies on to sustain its war. At the same time, Chinese media sources have propagated similar narratives as Russian media on a variety of topics, including criticism of the United States and refusal to condemn or label Russia's invasion of Ukraine as war. The Trumpet closely watches the strengthening bonds between Russia and China because of key Bible prophecies relating to these nations. To learn more, read our Trends article, Why the Trumpet Watches Russia Allying with China. The German Bundestag's budget committee gave the green light on December 18th for the procurement of armaments projects worth $21.8 billion. This includes 38 armaments projects for the German Navy, Army, and Air Force. Also, from January 1st to December 17th this year, the German government approved the export of military equipment worth around $13.7 billion, the Federal Ministry of Economics announced. This exceeds 2023's total and marks a new record. Germany is consistently in the top five of the world's largest weapons exporters. These exports allow the nation to forge alliances while preparing the industry to arm Germany in the future. To learn more about why the Trumpet watches Germany's arms buildup and military exports so closely, read Germany's Astonishing Military Rise. North Korea is shipping more ammunition to Russia and expanding its own arms production to give Moscow what it needs to fight Ukraine, the Wall Street Journal reported on December 23rd based on recent satellite images. While the artillery shells initially supplied to Russia were decades old, Pyongyang has recently upgraded the rocket launchers it is now sending to Russia with new control systems, the report said. A missile manufacturing plant in North Korea that produces short-range ballistic missiles to fire at Ukraine is also expanding. In November, North Korea's foreign minister said the country would stand by Russia's side until the day of victory. North Korea's help has been crucial in enabling Russia's prolonged war against Ukraine. In return for Pyongyang's support, Russia is transferring cash, oil, and weapons technology. Western officials are concerned Russia is helping North Korea become a more formidable nuclear power, making it more difficult for the U.S. and its allies to contain. Bible prophecy predicts that military ties between Russia, North Korea, and other Asian countries will grow even stronger. To learn more, read North Korean troops fight alongside Russians against Ukraine. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
That section in your book about Bill Barr, we were just talking about that a bit backstage.
Well, I mean, so much of the book goes through the kind of opposition that Donald Trump faced from within his own administration. I think the part of the book that really stood out was when you were talking about Bill Barr, because a lot of people were disappointed that he didn't prosecute, that he didn't hold people to account. What you bring out is the fact that he went in with self-interest that was counter to Donald Trump.
Most of us didn't know this.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've reported on Devin Nunes and Kash Patel for, and I've known them now 5-6 years. And, you know, they were very optimistic, as Kash says in this book. I interview, I mean, there's a lot of interviews with nice people in the book. Kash is in the book. Devin Nunes is in the book. Donald Trump is in the book. Dan Bongino. So some, you know, some very interesting, smart people. And as Kash talks about, he said that he briefed John Durham's people. And John Durham, that was the investigator that Barr named to get to the bottom of Russiagate. So Kash was very optimistic. Devin Nunes was very optimistic. And those guys knew a lot more than I did. So I'm like, okay, so I too am optimistic. And yeah, people were profoundly disappointed. And as one of the things that I found doing research for this book, finding out the different interests that Barr had. I mean, it was really Barr who was one of the architects of the massive surveillance campaign, you know, a decade before 9/11. There was a program that was run by the DEA while Barr was attorney general, alongside with none other than Robert Mueller. This is something a lot of us didn't know, how close Barr and Mueller had been professionally as well as personally. We'd heard about, you know, different church groups that Mrs. Mueller and Mrs. Barr were both members of, but I didn't know, and I don't think others did either, how close their professional relationship was. So it appears that what happened was Barr's job was to get Mueller out of the way. He wasn't doing much anyway, and he was endangering these different programs and move him along, but then to obstruct Trump and to make sure that Trump never got to the bottom of Russiagate and that no one would ever be held accountable.
And that he wouldn't have a second term. that
yeah, he right.
would be a one-term president.
Right, he wouldn't have a second term, so he wouldn't have another chance to attack these different programs that have been turned against American citizens.
They were all counting on Trump going away. they never thought that he could ever return to office. There he is, Lee Smith, the commentator, the journalist, talking about his book, Disappearing the President, that was released just in October. And I mentioned the last few issues of the Trumpet magazine, just to plug some of our literature. This one before, the last three I showed you. This one, Why God's Protecting This Man. You think about tomorrow's news today. I mean, just the last four or five issues of the Trumpet, they've been spectacular. If you don't have a free one-year subscription, make sure that you call our operators today and ask for the Trumpet magazine. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. The email address, if you'd like to submit some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. One of our viewers says, I listen to your program and have done so for some time. It's been an inspiration and helped me to progress my thinking in seeking the eternal and his ways through his son. I'm appreciative of your work at the Trumpet and would like to make a contribution. Well, there are various ways to do that. You can certainly find out more about our regional offices at our website, thetrumpet.com. Another one here says, what a wonderful way to spend our morning by listening to the Trumpet Daily while the world is shut down. On this day, I think that's someone speaking on the holiday from a couple weeks ago. Sorry, a couple days ago. This one here says, what a sobering TD. Thank you. We all lived through a horrible time when that disease, speaking of COVID, was released. We witnessed an older man being arrested at Sprouts in Arizona for not putting a mask on. Despicable. We're grateful, Kennedy is wanting to expose Big Pharma. We as a nation need to get back to Whole Foods. Thank you for getting the truth out there. Another one here says, I just wanted to comment on Make America Healthy Again regarding how people notice that Canada and Europe ban toxic chemicals. It says, I ordered a box of Dutch chocolate milk from a Dutch expat online shop and noticed that they have vanilla Coke and cherry Coke made with suker, Dutch, for sugar. I found out that the EU banned high fructose corn syrup and forced Coke, Pepsi, etc. to comply. Soda pop is by no means healthy, but cherry Coke with some sugar sure tastes cleaner and is more satisfying than the Bernie poison that we get. High fructose corn syrup. Seems like it's in just about everything in the American diet. Another one here says, many thanks for the amazing coverage of the election, especially the extended coverage, which has been greatly appreciated. The events of the past few days have been exhilarating, to say the least. This one's from a few weeks ago. There have been many times over the past 4 years while listening to the TD in my car on the way to work that I have literally cried out in frustration, Father, how long? just like the prophets of old, how long is this misery going to continue? How much more of this bitter affliction? It says, it's been agony watching the demented thinking and actions of the radical left. The return of Donald Trump, exactly as God prophesied through Mr. Flurry, is a wonderful It's wonderful to me as walking 2 million people through the Red Sea. It says, once again, God saves the Israelites from utter destruction, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Finally, here it says, in 2020, the Trumpet was dead sure Trump would win and have a second term. You've stood by your guns these past 4 years, and now victory. If you'd like to email the show, as I say, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show. Thanks for joining us all week.
and we'll see you next week.